are, back already. Remarkable how quickly time goes by now. It's just amazing to me. It's just not slowing down. We are halfway through February already. Think about it, the 14th. Erica, are you there?
I'm here, Jeff. Good evening.
Good evening to you. There's a lot going on. We have a good deal of material to report to you tonight. Hopefully most of you are at or near a computer or an iPad or even on your phone, because I'm going to want you to go to take a look at a couple of links. There are some images that have been taken from vaccine, actually vials, the bioweapon vial itself, and there are some things in there that are just, they look like sci-fi. They're mind-boggling, and they're not contaminants. They're supposed to be there for whatever reason. And Erica's trying to figure this out, as only she can do. We are on the outside looking in. It is guesswork to a large degree. I call it speculative science because we don't know for sure, but there are things going on with these kill shots that are not looking good. They never have, but they're looking worse. We have a special guest going to join us tonight. I'm going to bring him on right now. He is Cliff Mickelson, my friend and colleague of 25 years since we began covering the whole Morgellons story. Cliff Mickelson is known around the world in the Morgellons community. He, of course, was very close friends with Jan Smith, mine as well, and we must have done 40 programs at least, 2-3 hours long on this whole Morgellons thing. We never came to the total truth, but we got a very, very good handle on it. And Cliff Mickelson is the custodian of that data. Cliff, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I am, Jeff. Good evening, and I hope everything's going well with you. It's good to hear your voice again.
Thank you. Say hello to Erica. She's standing by here.
Hello, Erica. How are you?
Hi, Cliff. I'm good. Good to meet you.
Great. That's a pleasure.
Well, Cliff and I go way back. We waded through this whole thing with Jan, and I'll be very interested to hear what Cliff has to say about it. How did this whole thing get started? This whole thing, meaning biological war, bioweapons. It's really quite a remarkable story when you think about it and look at it in its totality. Now, I was able to find a document. Did you get this? Erica, I sent it over to you.
Yes, yep.
Okay. I've been looking for this for some time. It was in my AIDS book, which was originally published in 1989, and it's a Department of Defense Appropriations Subcommittee hearing for 1970. I think it was held in 1969. And I don't know, do you remember seeing this, Cliff, at all? This reproduction of the... It's actually from the Congressional Record. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that, Jeff, or if I have, I don't recall it.
All right, I'm going to post it up in headlines later, and I'll send it over to you as well. It is the Department of Defense going in front of a subcommittee of the Committee on Appropriations, House of Representatives, 91st Congress, first session. Okay? So the man who ran the hearing, so to speak, the chairman, would have been Robert L. F. Sykes. Maybe that's I. F. Sykes. I can't tell. He's a congressman from Florida. So when you hear me say Sykes, he's leading the actual subcommittee hearing. And the representative from the Department of Defense is named Dr. MacArthur. I don't have a first name for you, but we'll just go with that. And here I'm going to read now the part that is most relevant. I did touch on it a little bit earlier last hour, but I'm going to go through the whole thing. This is the actual verbatim transcript of this subcommittee hearing where the DOD is asking for money to build something very special. There are two things about the biological agent field I would like to mention. One is the possibility of technological surprise. Molecular biology is a field that is advancing very rapidly, and eminent biologists believe that within a period of 5 to 10 years, that's by 1980 at the latest, it would be possible to produce a synthetic biological agent. A synthetic biological agent, an agent that does not naturally exist and for which no natural immunity could have been acquired. That's what the DOD is asking. Mr. Sykes responds, are we doing any work in that field? Dr. MacArthur, we are not. Mr. Sykes, why not? Lack of money or lack of interest? Dr. MacArthur, certainly not lack of interest. Mr. Sykes, would you provide for our records information on what would be required, what the advantages of such a program would be, the time, and the cost involved? Dr. MacArthur says, we will be very happy to. And that information is actually reprinted also in the Congressional Record. And very briefly, I'll just run over this again. All biological agents up to the present time are representatives of naturally occurring disease. This is 1970. And are thus known by scientists throughout the world. They are easily available to qualified scientists for research, either for offensive or defensive purposes. Number two, within the next 5 to 10 years, it would be probably possible to make a new infective microorganism which could differ in certain important aspects from any known disease-causing organisms. Most important of these is that it might be refractory to the immunological and therapeutic processes upon which we depend to maintain our relative freedom from infectious disease. That's what they're asking for. Number three, a research program to explore the feasibility of this could be completed in approximately 5 years at a total cost of $10 million. Well, we kind of laugh at that $10 million today. That's Fauci's pocket change. It's a joke. So here they are asking for $10 million to build. I'm going to read this again. Within the next 5 to 10 years, it would probably be possible to make a new infective microorganism which could differ in certain important aspects from any known disease-causing organisms. Most important of these is that it just might be refractory, in other words, harmful, to the immunological and therapeutic processes upon which we depend to maintain our relative freedom from infectious disease. So that's what the DOD asked for in 1969 at the hearing for 1970, the fiscal year 1970. They wanted $10 million. So one wonders how many real dollars have been spent since that 52-year-ago appeal for money. That's quite a statement. Erica, what are your thoughts on that?
I think they've been working on it all along.
Nonstop.
Overtly and covertly.
Black ops. And how much money do we really think they were given or are given or have been given? How about as much as they want?
Yeah, absolutely.
The way they phrase it is kind of funny. Most important of these is that it just might be refractory to the immunological and therapeutic processes upon which we depend to stay healthy. Does that sound like an attack on the human immune system by any chance? Does that sound just a little bit like the bioweapon and what the spike protein does to the blood and the circulatory system and the major organs of the body? Just a little bit?
Well, in the way it provokes the immune system to attack a multiplicity of organs and tissues after the infection is gone. The autoimmune response that results is almost ensures destruction in another way.
Exactly.
It looks to me like they've succeeded.
Well, I think this is the coup de grace. I think this is the kill shot, as they say. I don't see any way around it. It does seem, as you look at the pictures we're going to show you, that the sophisticated additions to what they're trying to pass off as a vaccine are very advanced. These are not child's play. These are some remarkable things. Cliff Mickelson, your thoughts on that 1969 testimony in front of that subcommittee asking for $10 million to build something that would defeat our immune system?
Yeah, that's pretty much lays it right out in open, as we've always maintained. They're not at all bashful about telling you right up to your face what it is they're going to be doing and putting it in the record, you know. But something that strikes me as very interesting here is that we're talking 1969, 1970, and they're talking 5 to 10 years to develop something that just might be refractory. And this is before the advent of really, really efficient computer systems, which came down the road about 10 years later, at least in the Black Ops world. Imagine how they were able to accelerate that timetable with more and more efficient computing and computing power.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're talking 1970, but they were still using an abacus. I mean, you know.
Well, slide rules. Some people were using slide rules, I think, back then. Yeah. Yeah, interesting point. I would also say that this is basically asking for money to build HIV. That's the way I look at this, ultimately. HIV didn't just happen. As Dr. Bob Strecker told me, he said, it's like you got a paraplegic, and he's all dressed up in a tuxedo and a tie in his wheelchair. Well, he didn't get there by himself. He had help. So that's HIV. And this is a request for essentially what HIV was known to do, destroy the immune system, which
right.
I guess...
An attack on the immune system. And interestingly enough, it wasn't just relatively short time later that the first cases began to surface.
It was 1970... When was that, Erica? 1978, they began to put the hepatitis B vaccine out in 10 major U.S. cities among promiscuous homosexuals only. Wasn't that the deal?
That's about the time frame that I remember, sure.
So I think, Cliff, your point is well taken. Okay, let's go ahead. And what I'd like all of you to do is go to guests at the top of the homepage. And look under there, and we're going to take you to the first group of pictures. Cliff, if you can get a little bit closer to your phone or whatever, your sounds like a little bit far away. Okay.
Yeah, is
thanks.
That better?
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. First up, under Jeff and Erica, you'll see it. Stunning new images of complex nanotech, and I put quotes around that. Devices found in New Zealand Pfizer vials, photos and videos, and there we go. So before I go there, I'd like to play one thing, and I want to get Erica to comment on this. This is a 2-minute video from Dr. Charles Morgan, which is, I believe, 3 years old, Erica, about 3-4?
Oh, no, this is like 10 years old.
10.
This is Flintstones.
Okay, all right.
But it's worth hearing because, you know, it's mind-blowing even though it's 10 years old.
All right. This is Dr. Charles Morgan. And if I remember correctly, he was speaking to a very select group at West Point. I think that's what it was, but it's been a while. All right, here's Dr. Charles Morgan. Now, this is going to go by a little quickly, so we're going to maybe go back over it a little bit because it's stunning what is disclosed here that is available when he gave this particular address. So here we go, Dr. Charles Morgan.
This is actually having one animal learn something and seeing and recording that activity and put it into the sensory cortex of a second animal, and that animal acquires the knowledge. From the human drone technology standpoint, you can attach the human brain to another human brain. You can direct motor activity, or you can send communication and information. Dr. Ventner's work is, my view, the equivalent of the development of nuclear weapons when you realize that he created life in a cell. He programmed yeast cells to produce anything he wanted. These can be inserted into you through the hypospray needles. You put in a specific gene slicing, you program what you like, you put it in the cell, and it can reproduce and make...
What did he just say, Erica? Go ahead.
Well, we're all altering genetic expression to the point where, you know, you can hijack a cell to cause it to produce whatever it is you want it to produce. I mean, this is done through introducing nucleic acids or genes, RNA, DNA, and that's essentially a little bit of comparable to what we're doing now with this mRNA technology. You know, you're introducing a gene to cause the cell to produce a foreign protein.
It's amazing to think that the human cell can be programmed to produce anything. I mean, what are we talking about here? Like apple juice, orange juice, vinegar, any substance, almost anything?
Virtually, yeah. If you've got the code, the sequence, nucleic acid sequence, and you can put it into a readable form and get it into that cell, then that cell will produce that protein.
Wow. All right, let's go back to the other half of... Yes, Cliff, go ahead.
I just wanted to quickly throw something in there. It looks to me like we're talking about programmable memory and creating an alternate reality.
Yeah, I would say that that's what Charles Morgan is saying in this little speech of his, yes.
That's their big target,
I think. And if this goes back, if this is 10 years old, and it is, that's what it apparently is, that's amazing. Imagine where they are now. Just imagine. All right, here, let's go back, pick up the other minute.
Much as you like, it sends a signal and tells which portion of the DNA should unwrap, unfold, and produce a product. Related to this is an idea called dreads. These are designer receptors that can be remotely controlled. You can create a cell, you can put it somewhere in the body, and you can remotely activate it. So you have the capacity to create any product. As long as you know the DNA sequence, you can insert it into a living system, and you can remotely control it. That may affect the way you think, the way you act. So once you know that the technology is there to edit, splice, and program a cell, and the technology currently exists to administer it to somebody and have it go park anywhere you program it to go park, proliferate, and do its function.
Park, proliferate, and do its function in your body anywhere they want it to go. Think about it.
Can have things activated in other people's brains. Just people have figured out how to hide imagery in the DNA of bacteria. You can have the information reproduced in a string form as a form of a protein. The new way to hide information is going to be in DNA. This is the first experiment showing what imagery you can hide in bacteria. This is the latest. It's a GIF file. Well, this is what the Chinese are doing with DNA. Merging DNA systems with quantum computing will be really quite an amazing and both lethal threat. The next thing I wanted to mention to you is memory. Can we erase memory? Can we modify memory? Can we change memory? The short answer is yes.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, how does that make you feel? Erica, pretty awesome. And that's 10, 11 years ago. Does he talk about things that were still on the drawing board then? He said they were available. He said they could do it.
Yeah, so why, how far down the road are we now? You know, we're basically at a point where we can do anything with frequencies now that we used to do with drugs.
Oh, very interesting. Yeah. So you won't have to inject your morphine. You can just vibrate it right into your being.
If you can create the receptors in the body to respond to a certain stimulus, you know, that produces a particular protein upon receiving that stimulus, then yes, it can be done remotely through waveforms.
This is amazing. All right, let's move ahead. And if you want to go back and listen to Charles Morgan again, you can. The link is right down in that center section in guests. So have at it and share it. Go ahead, Cliff.
Jeff, just real quickly. So he's talking about the Borg, basically. I mean, if we're talking about hijacking reality in one person, we can hijack the same reality in an entire society.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, exactly. Okay, what I'd like to do is get all of you to go to the link right below Dr. Charles Morgan, and you'll see still photos. What are these things? Click on that. It'll go to a site called lifeoftheblood.com. And these images are mind-boggling. Erica, why don't you lead the way on this, if you would. We'll just go to the first image, and we can go down image by image, if you want.
I've got to get it in front of me here. These are some of the most startling pictures I've seen yet.
And these came from New Zealand, just so you know. The vaccine product was made by Pfizer. It's called Comirnaty. It's their Comirnaty version, which is used a lot in Europe, I understand, and other places as well. So this is Pfizer Comirnaty.
Now I'm still trying to get it in front of me. I've got too many windows open.
Okay. These images are taken at about 4,000 power, microscopically talking. When you begin to look at them, you'll see what absolutely looks like a printed circuit board. But I think it's far beyond that. You got it?
Still getting there.
Okay. All right. It says the first image is stunning. You look at it. Look how it's laid out. Are you able to see this, Cliff?
Yes, I do, Jeff.
Okay, the top image
right
there.
Here.
Yeah, and it says the images below are from a new sample after a new computer with top-notch graphic capacity was purchased. These images came through software connected to a microscope camera. All right? So we'll look at image number two now. You there, Erica?
I'm there.
Okay, image number two. Let me just say a couple of quick things and I'll get out of the way. Look carefully at that image on the left. Now, we all have seen traditional printed circuit boards. All right, I don't see any evidence of print or assembly. It looks like a fluid construct that has somehow been put together. Yes, there are right angles everywhere. Look at it carefully. And then look at you can follow what would be circuits that are in this assembly. What do you see, Erica?
Well, they're etchings, I would say. I mean, this is startling to think that this is being injected into people. Now, I mean, I have some thoughts about whether or not this is being injected as is, or does it take form after it's been injected? Does it self-assemble, as many nanoparticles do, after they've been injected? In other words, if this were put into living tissue, it might take on a different shape. But, I mean, the shape like this is just, I don't even see how that's biocompatible.
If that were injected into me, I would expect it to go into the nearest capillary, depending on how big it is, and get stuck and shut that capillary down, or that small vein. I don't know. We don't have a reference. Go ahead.
The immune system would certainly see that and begin trying to wall it off. I mean, that's just...
Look at that, everyone. Look closely. That's what is in the Comirnaty vaccine, that bioweapon, that is going to go into your body and maybe take up residence at a certain spot and maybe proliferate. And maybe Erica is right. This wasn't in the liquid observable Comirnaty Pfizer product. Maybe this was constructed after it went into the body from real tiny nano blueprints, we'll call them, whatever. Is that how nano works, Erica?
Well, anything nano will self-assemble. But this is, it's almost has a deliberate design to it. I mean, I've never seen anything.
Yeah.
This is horrific. I mean, just to be clear, so everybody knows that this doctor, I believe it was Dr. Matt Shelton that did this work. He dropped it, a drop of the vaccine, onto a slide, and then this thing formed after a period of time. I'm not sure if it was hours or days, and it was exposed to, I think, a little bit of heat. Not intense heat. He didn't bake it. But yeah, so this formed after a period of time.
So that does argue, if that's the case, that maybe this is a construct that is self-assembled after injection. Maybe on site.
Right, maybe on site.
Where it's supposed to go.
But Cliff, what do you see? It looks like it has an antenna.
Oh, hold on. Yeah, looks like an antenna. And if you get a magnifying glass, a simple one, and just look and trace with your eye, follow whatever they are. Are they circuits? What are they? I'm not a scientist. I don't know. Cliff, what do you see here?
Windings. They're windings. They strike me as being windings. Flow courses for magnetic energy. That's what they are. That's what they strike me as being, that is. I mean, I'm really familiar with electric motors and how electricity works and how windings work and how magnetic fields work around stators and rotors. And you could create polarity with this. I mean, I'm going to take a wild guess. I don't have proof, but I'm just going to say that this could create a polarity.
Well, the door is open, Erica.
What do you think the purpose of it would be? Would it be to send receive information or biosensing? Okay.
It could absolutely receive and send. And also generate.
Okay.
Capture and generate. Direct.
By using the body's own bioelectric potential.
Exactly.
Possibly. Okay, let's go down the next one. We're going to try and move through these kind of quickly. Erica, go ahead and lead us on down.
Okay, so I'm looking at more of the same or similar. There's the one with the colored.
Mm-hmm.
On top, and so the next one...
All of a sudden they have colors. Isn't that interesting? At least they're more vivid colors, yeah.
Okay, now we're moving into the samples of some blood with a drop of vaccine in it, looking at it under a microscope.
So those are blood cells?
Yes.
And the little dog bone on the lower left is...
I, you know, the shiny things, maybe quantum dots.
All right, let's look at the next one with blood in it, and you'll see five different particles there. Now, the woman who interviewed this doctor was trying to dismiss these as contaminants.
I think she was being polite. You know, when you start talking conspiracies, you lose a lot of your audience.
Well, we don't.
I mean, the general public is not going to go for it, or they don't want to believe it.
Yeah.
They don't.
I agree. I agree with that. Because, as I was pointing out, contaminants don't happen. Pfizer and all these big pharma outfits are a lot of things, but they're not... sloppy when it comes to their product. They have incredible control over what goes in and what doesn't go in. So the contaminants is probably not the right word to use. Whatever's in there is in there for a reason.
But just for the record, go ahead.
Yeah, this one. I mean, these look like designs. You know, deliberate forms, structures with a purpose. You know, it doesn't. Other than these metallic-looking things, you know, those structures definitely appear to be there on purpose.
One, two, three has a bright crystal-like thing in the middle. Number four, number five has 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 bright, shiny objects. You know what that looks like? Cliff, that looks like a picture of deep space and galaxies.
doesn't it? Yeah, indeed it does.
That's funny. That's funny.
Well, you know, within you, without you.
Are those luminescing on their own, Erica, do you think? Or are they refractive of some kind of light source at the microphone?
Well, the quantum dots will pick up light and then reflect it back. So that's my guess. I mean, they've been talking about quantum dots for a long time now, using them as biosensors mostly.
Are they round or are they oblique and off square like these?
Oh, they can come in many different sizes, shapes. I would think the most biocompatible ones are the ones made from graphene, which, you know, being a form of carbon, is relatively biocompatible.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the next picture has a very large white crystalline-looking item on the left. I have no idea what I'm looking at here. None, except there are trailing behind it to the right. You'll see they look like small tubes or etchings, as Cliff identified them as. We don't know if they're etchings, but they look like intelligent, designed, synthetic parts of that big, shiny object. Erica.
I drawing a blank. It looks maybe, it's hard to tell. Some type of aluminum.
Look to the right, you'll see that it has structure. It's not lit up, but it's got structure. If you have a magnifying glass, some of you have good eyes. That's a wild one. I have no idea. Those are blood cells, remember, the normal looking things, on a slide. And we don't know how long they were left out, the samples, before they were imaged with this camera. But wild stuff. Okay, the next one, we see three items on the far right and three in the center. The next one, we see two items with the blood cells and so on, and then we go on down. Now, we're going to cross a bit of narration and come to the next image, which is a long rectangle with a couple of squares hanging off of it. How's that? Cliff, does that look like anything we used to see back in the day, Morgellon stuff? That's a weird one.
This to some extent this does, but actually those quantum dots seem more familiar to me than this thing does. This looks like an advanced creation, evolution of what we used to see back when we were doing our work with JAM. This is definitely bizarre. I mean, it's got a function. I just have no clue what it could be at this point.
Would that be fair, Erica? All of these synthetic things would have a specific function or many functions, possibly, depending on how complex they were. They would just throw these things around for fun.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that strikes me is the shape. I mean, when you're dealing with nano and you want to integrate something into a living system without provoking the immune system, shape is everything. And these things, I mean, all the sharp edges, and right. I don't know what the material is. Maybe it's graphene or carbon, but the shape is...
I just don't understand,
you know, how this is going to be either a scaffold for something or I don't know.
I don't know. Look at the next one. Looks like the letter P, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yeah.
You've been branded.
P for Pfizer. Yeah. I wouldn't put anything past these people at all, if they are people.
Jeff, there seems to be a lot of these other little dots that are the same color. Do you know what's up with those in there that are in the same slide?
Erica might know.
Floating?
Yeah, what is in the field there that is hundreds and hundreds of round dots?
I think my best guess right now would be there's some kind of nano bubble, which would be a gas bubble. And they can put whatever kind of gas they want in there for whatever effect they want. But these nano bubbles have been shown to increase the efficiency of either drug delivery or gene delivery. And quite often they will have a super paramagnetic iron oxide nanoparticle in the shell. But the exterior would be something like, you know, some kind of polymer, some maybe a lipid.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're, I'm guessing they're nanobubbles.
That's a very interesting guess. And she showed me online nanobubbles earlier, and it does make sense. It would be a very interesting way to deliver a certain gas or even a certain liquid inside those little nanobubbles, whatever. There's an area in the middle that is round and it's open, and it seemingly could be packed with anything. It's just, they're very interesting little machines. Nanobubbles. All right, next up. This looks like a spaceship out there somewhere. This is crazy.
Yeah.
What do you think when you see that, Cliff? What hits you?
Well,
look at the right angles on that. Look at that.
And of course, it does bring back some memories of some of the stuff we used to see, but nothing this advanced.
Agreed.
Nothing quite this developed.
Yes, I completely concur. All right, moving on to the next one, which is kind of a gray with a light blue-green. But look again at what we'll call, because we don't know, microcircuitry work, etchings. Like, that was a perfect word, Erica. What do you think? Same thing.
Yeah, it looks like this thing is starting to take shape. I assume it was not there when he put the drop on the slide, but it started to form sometime afterward.
And they're building at right angles. That's the mind boggler.
It really is.
The bottom could be an antenna. If you look, there's looks like a probe going downward.
Yep.
And we'll go down to the next picture, which I believe is an extreme close-up of the same thing above. It is, in point of fact, directly above it. And look carefully at the edging of it. Not etching, the edging. Look at that. Now, nano can self-assemble at perfect right angles like that, yes? No problem.
I think you'd have to design it to do that. I'm not sure how they would do it. Maybe with the DNA origami, where, you know, they can do a lot of this on the computer now, so that it will take shape, well, acquire a certain shape when these molecules come together. But I'm that doesn't look like DNA origami to me. I don't even know what this is. I'm speechless.
Well, it's an exact blow up of the picture above it, and I want you to look and get squared away with that. Now go look at the picture above it, and you will see to the right the longer part, and then come down to the enlargement and look how more defined it is. Do you see what I'm saying? The image above is rough and not quite tied in to what, you know, we'll call it a right angle design motif. Look below, though. Right angles, gently curved at some of the corners. And look at the thing going off to the right, and then look up at the same thing. It's changed. It has changed its general shape, and it has refined, and it is very, very clearly defined now. So this may have been, you know, an hour later. Maybe, what if it was a minute later, Erica? Could things happen that quickly with nano?
I don't know. I don't know.
You get what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
No. I've seen on some of the electronic circuits that I've dealt with, almost like a collector. Almost like a collector, yeah. And like it's a focus of some kind.
All right,
the way the etchings go.
Next image, looks like it's got a neon light all around it, sort of. On the edge. And then the next one below that has some white splotches to the right, which are probably anything but white splotches. Now this form doesn't have any overt we'll call them microcircuit etchings. This looks like an antenna device to me, Erica. You see the two points going down, and it looks like a transceiver. Well, we're all guessing here, dear friends, so forgive us because we don't know, and they ain't telling us. It's real simple. Okay, the next one down, again, we have the outline of the object, but no visible etchings on it. Again, we have what looks like an antenna pointing up and off to the right. And are those brightly lit objects, the little round orbs, would those be micro dots?
Or quantum dots? They could be,
dots. Okay.
Or again, these nano bubbles could have something in them that makes them fluoresce.
And look at the, what we have is a drawing of, it looks like an incomplete drawing of something. And you look right through it. You can see right through it. It's perfectly drawn, but it may not be finished, if you understand the self-assembling aspect.
Almost like a constellation star chart.
Yes, this is like looking at a different universe. The next one looks like an apartment building complex. Lots of little people. I don't know. Now we move down to pictures showing masses of little dots, little droplets. What do you think?
I'm going to go with the nano bubbles, which may or may not contain, you know, the genetic material, whatever, you know, the mRNA or replicons or whatever. I do. Who knows?
Well, then, like
There's
I said, they're not
them.
Telling us. They sure are. Let's go on down to the next one with the eyeball on the right. Okay, you see that? And then on down to the one that really intrigues me. Now, this is an odd one. Look at all of these objects. Everyone is different. They're all laid out there almost as if they were in an array to be observed. But look at all of them. Very strange. Okay. And the next one, we have an image which is pretty much horizontal. It dips down to the left. It does not appear to be as refined as the others. If you look at some of the right angles, they're not right. Look at some of the straight lines. They don't appear to be finished. This one may have been caught in an early stage of self-assembly. Huh? And then the next one has a bright dot right smack in the center of it. Another one up to the left. We can go on down to the next one, which is showing, it looks like a shadow to me. If you look at the brownish looking line and then look to the left, doesn't that look like it might be a shadow effect? That whatever that is could be sticking up a little bit and it caught some flash or some color. I don't know. Well, it looks kind of like a marble kitchen countertop, too, doesn't it?
Yep. Boy.
All right. Onward and onward we go. Take your time, everyone. Just have at it. These things are all just mind-boggling, and they were all found once again in the Comirnaty Pfizer BioNTech bioweapon. In New Zealand. Shipped from where? We don't know. But in that it's called Comirnaty, that would suggest a European origin.
Mm-hmm.
So keep looking down, everyone, and just contemplate. Think, what the hell are they doing? And they're injecting this stuff into us, and when they inject it, it's probably not our best guess in these final or finalized shapes and designs. They're assembled after the injection. This is crazy. So if you go further, let me get to this real quick, Cliff. If we go further down, you'll see some of these appear to have almost like an aquatic plant. They're odd. They have tendrils. And yet there are bright dots clinging to them or growing out of them. You know, which came first, the chicken or the egg here? I don't know. Erica?
Yeah, okay, so these are the blood images again. And these are some of the final ones in this presentation down near the bottom. It looks to me like these fibers are coming out of the nanotech or these solid shapes.
Right.
And I don't know if this is designed to help this foreign material integrate into the host. I mean, that's one of the things these biopolymers do is you know, create almost a scaffolding so that the body will not reject this foreign material. So it looks like it's growing tentacles or roots to take up residence, I don't know, somewhere in the body, wherever you inject this thing.
Good call. Yeah, roots. Right. Here's the point. We just have a couple minutes left here. I wish we had another hour. But do look at these and look at the other. There's some videos for you under guests as well. And put your thinking cap on. Is this a vaccine? Not a chance in hell is this a vaccine. I think that's the overwhelming lesson we need to learn from this. These are machines. And they're being injected into God only knows how many people. And they're probably, Erica, I'll bet they're researching and experimenting as all day long and all night on people with this stuff.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, we've had numerous reports of these types of findings now from several countries around the globe. I haven't heard so much about them finding them here in the U.S., but certainly Europe, New Zealand, Africa. So clearly there's different batches being deployed in different places and invariably different experiments being run. I think this has become so obnoxious now, these findings, that they're going to pretend to do an investigation of some sort and try to find out what they are. So we'll have another, you know, kangaroo court.
Oh, yes.
Type of...
It'll be a joke. It'll be
yeah.
a joke.
We'll pretend to look into it and pretend we didn't find anything. But no, this is horrific. I don't see how this is compatible with human biology or physiology.
Or life
and, you know,
as we know
it. All of
this
could be synthetic.
No,
I mean, these go back to that unidentified protein or nucleic acid sequence that they... I mean, Pfizer admits it's in their recipe. We don't know what that protein is. The nucleic acids don't match up to any known protein. And yet you're injecting it and having your body make it.
Okay, I want you to say...
protein for this.
I want you to say that again. The new protein that you noticed and pointed out on this program, which is at least as big or bigger than the spike, how did you just describe that? That was very interesting, if you can remember.
Well, so the recipe, and that's the nucleic acids that are used to make your body build the protein, a protein, any protein. It just, whatever protein is built, the nucleic acids are what code for it. So that's the mRNA. So in the Pfizer vax, in their recipe, is the code for a protein that when researchers looked it up, they couldn't find a match. It does not code for any known protein. So we can assume, therefore, that it's probably a designer protein, which is, this is what they do with synthetic biology. You can design a protein from scratch, and as long as you can get it into a cell and the cell is able to read it, then it will produce that protein. Now that should frighten the hell out of you.
It'll produce that protein for how long? Maybe till hell freezes
over. Well, that's a good question.
Over.
I mean,
we don't know.
It depends. I mean, if it depends
so we,
if the nucleic acids become integrated into the DNA, which it could, or if it overrides the DNA, which it could.
So the Pfizer mad scientists have put a new protein in the Pfizer kill shots in that bioweapon, and nobody knows anything about what its purpose is, what it's supposed to do, what it can do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We're
but
trying.
Don't worry, it's
but...
safe.
Oh, absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Cliff Mickelson, thank you for being here, my friend, and we'll talk again. If this is morgue, it's morgue times 100.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much, Jeff. And Eric, it's a pleasure visiting with you and meeting you.
Oh, likewise, Cliff. Thank you.
All right. All right, young lady. The last three pictures, I was just looking at them real quickly. They damn near look like Christmas ornaments.
Yeah, or something out of a fish tank, a well-lit fish tank.
it's just shouldn't be in a shot given to human people or any people. And there are a lot of non-human people walking around. I've seen them. This is silly, what's going on here. And yet no one has any idea about it.
No.
No one knows. And they're getting these shots around the world. And all I can say is it's less than 3 years to 2025. And we know we have, we have just 1 minute. Explain to our listeners what that, and I put it up, I think I put it up, I'll put it up. There's a 2 minute video of a mortuary worker from Australia, from Sydney. What did she say?
Oh, she's imploring people not to continue getting these shots, and in particular for the kids. I mean, they are just overrun with corpses. They're burying people like never before, and they're having to order containers that will hold, what was it, 8 people at a time? 8 bodies?
8 at a time, and they can freeze them.
Yeah, so to keep up with the burials or the cremations, I think... They're just going for the cremations because the bodies are piling up so fast.
She said yes. The deceased goes right into the oven, comes out,
yep.
Put into an urn, and given
yep.
back to the family. And good luck. Have a nice day.
And
wow.
They're seeing way too many young, healthy people just succumbing to these injections.
Bioweapons, that's what they are. Nothing else could they be. Thank you, Erica. Talk soon.
Okay, thank you, Jeff.
Okay.
Have a good evening. Good night,
thank
everyone.
You. All right, we'll be back in one break, top of the hour break, to talk to Russell Bentley live from Donbass in free Ukraine, where war appears more and more to be imminent. Be right back.